blood respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hirdaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow. And sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is not more important than anything. We will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Familiar process cycling back around, and I've seen so much about it.
Cool.
It happens around when I have a big project to do that I really love. And so all this possibility and a lot of steps to take and a lot of physical things to happen. And so that's all fun and great. I always remember this one, you know the Simpsons cartoon? I didn't watch that, but...
A couple of times.
Yeah, a million years ago. That, to me, the fellow who created that, at least the ones that I saw, there were just so brilliant, some brilliant social commentary in them. And actually, I think he's the one who did that great cartoon we sometimes put on the board of the life in hell.
Oh, same guy?
That it starts out with the guy who's, you know, from now on I'm going to live in peace and joy. And it just goes on like that. And this, and life is going to... And then there's a ring or something in the background. Lunchtime over, and he says, starting at break, after break, I'm going to... But anyway, so there's this... one Simpsons cartoon where it's a depiction of hell, and Homer Simpson is there, and they're just stuffing donuts into his mouth.
Somebody else's?
Yeah. Like that's his punishment.
Wow.
And of course he's not fazed. He's just so excited that he has like endless amounts of donuts. But that's another story. The point for me was that what conditioning does is to use the material that's in the being's life to just turn it into hell.
I see the connection. So you've got all this good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm projecting good energy
and tons of energy.
And it's all coming up, and instead of it just kind of flowing in the way it naturally might if life was in charge of it, conditioning tries to come in and basically turn it into its opposite.
And to push.
And to push it.
That's the big thing. So I'm out, you know, I'm doing it, you know, in the times that I'm doing it, great. And then when it's time to eat, eat. And then when it's time to shower, shower. When it's time to sleep, sleep. When it's time to meditate, meditate. But instead, it's doing it all the time. You know, sit down and meditate. Well, no, if I could do it, if I could just this evening, if I could only do it. And what's so clear about it is, I don't want to do that. So it must not be me.
Must not be you who's doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing I think that's so pernicious about it is that it's a project that I love, and I enjoy doing it, and I want to do it, so of course that must be me, sitting down and, you know, planning. Mm-hmm. It's just such a perfect way of conditioning hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, what's occurring to me, you're saying that is conditioning is kind of like a judo master.
Yeah.
You know how they do with judo, using the energy of your opponent?
Yeah.
And so all this energy was coming from life, it seems,
right. Yeah.
And then it just takes, instead of, I mean, it does this too, actually, but it could resist that and say, no, you can't, or
right.
you're a bad person for wanting that.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they can't take that tack of that, probably because it's just too much goodness.
Because, and that's such a good point right there. It's like it knows that it can't take that tack. Mm-hmm. That in a way, if it were to take that tack, it would reveal itself.
It'd be too obvious.
So starkly. Mm-hmm. That's like, whoa, there's conditioning. So instead, it has to go with the direction that
right.
life is going in, and then just push it so that I'll miss. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel like life anymore. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just takes all that energy, and instead of blocking it, it kind of it kind of makes this path for it that starts off kind of straight and then kind of veers off to one side.
Yeah. You know what I just saw was in the Learning to Love Learning radio show, I think it was last week or sometime, we were talking about the yes and of life and energy. And it feels like what conditioning does is yes, but. You know, so again, instead of it coming in to say, no, you can't do that, I don't want to, it has to start with the yes. It has to go get in the same direction.
Or else you won't go with it.
Or you won't go with it. Mm-hmm. But then go, but, you know.
But you've got to call that happen right now.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. exactly. Or, you know, I want to do that instead of, or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the other things I saw about it, I think it was last night, is what it's, at the end of the day, I had this sense of just like self-hate lurking. And what it felt like was, what was supposed to happen is, I was supposed to receive a message of, look at you. You're so self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
You're so, essentially, believe that's me, that really, really kind of, what's the word? Obsessive energy around the project that is self-centered.
It is planting the evidence.
Exactly.
For the conclusion that it'll draw a little bit later.
Exactly.
But none of that's you. You're just supposed to believe that obsessive thinking is you, and so you believe the judgment that and the self-hate that happens later.
Yeah. In fact, what I was recording about it last night is I had this huge breakthrough where, so you know, there's some time to work on the project throughout the next 48 hours or so, and so I was doing that process of like, okay, first this and then that, da da da. And then I saw the suffering that was created in it. And I said, okay, I'm going to sit tonight. I'm going to walk and sit.
Instead of
doing the project.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of its plan for, okay, tonight if I do this, and then, and it was like, you know? I mean, what? And that's so, it was amazing how that just immediately took care of the being, and just cut right through conditioning. So as I was walking, I was recording, and I was seeing, you know, I bet really that's the ultimate point of it. You know, so there's all the obsessive thinking, I mean, that's really good too. But that ending point of self-hate, look at you, what you did all day, focused on you, da da da. And so to turn this thing, that's this amazing gift from life in so many ways, to so many ways what a gift it is, and to end it with, look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's killed it, basically, in that.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. Taken
all the life out of it. And yet, in the same way that you were talking about, it does that judo thing, the minute, at least in my experience, I see that, it's completely shifted.
Yeah, there's this thing, I don't know much about it, but it's a Tai Chi thing where they have this thing that they call push hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of this, but I think how it works is two people are standing there and they're supposed to keep their feet in the same spot,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing this thing. And basically, what they're trying to do is catch a person in some kind of a rigid stance,
because
if you're fluid, you can't be pushed off your foot. But if you're out of balance and so you're locked, then your opponent can push you out of your spot. And that just keeps coming through as you're saying that, because, you know, so it's trying to do that. It's trying to get you to, like, stand solid in that obsessive thinking.
Yeah.
And then what happened last night is you basically caught it. You kind of caught it on its heels.
Yeah.
It had committed to something.
Yeah.
But then you caught it, and so you were able to kind of push it off.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting as
a way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, and as that's kind of what we're doing is we're involved in this practice of being in that loose flowing place, and there's kind of an opponent that we can practice with in order to be there.
Uh-huh. So the practice, using that kind of image, the practice is staying fluid, and that, like, in my case, the karma is to get it right, you know, right, or to all those things, but the so and conditioning knows that, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, like yesterday, what it's searching for is the angle of, you did it wrong.
Right.
You did it wrong.
So that you'd be locked into your position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet that practice of being fluid, of, oh, all we're doing is practicing awareness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anything I see is fluid. Mm-hmm. Just being in awareness with all of it is a... There's nowhere to get knocked to.
Right.
There's no, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. It's fun too to know that we can, that's a place that we can be.
Yeah.
You know, we can, in a way, we can be kind of using this, I don't know how to say exactly, but kind of on the same level of energy as conditioning in a way, but with a mastery in it that it doesn't have.
Yeah, because all of life is that, is sort of behind us.
True.
I know that's sort of a funny way to say it, but yeah, I mean, life is all of me, so, you know, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the interesting, one other thing about it that I saw was that in that place of the obsessive thinking and the kind of going with its planning, time shrinks unbelievably. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, time, you know, it's like grabbing for time.
Where is it?
And in the other place, it's like, wait, that's magic. Mm-hmm. How is that happening?
Mm-hmm. How? You mean it kind of expands?
It completely expands, and just, this could fit right here. How about doing that? Okay, great. And then this, and it's a truly amazing how the less agenda there is, the less plan there is, it really feels like the more things can get accomplished.
That is amazing. Well, we had that, was it last Tuesday? We had the reading from Sweet Sin where we're talking about, like, time being a human illusion.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's kind of what you're talking about. It's like this made-up thing, and if we don't, if we're not coming from that place, it's almost like it changes physically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because that thing, time is an illusion, continues to be a complete come on to me. Mm-hmm. And I know the process that happens is conditioning is attempting to figure that out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, and I had that go through this morning. Oh, I wonder if that's a little bit of what it's pointing at. That experience of, like, how did that? It's just a completely different
thing.
It
seems like a different thing.
A different zone, a different place, a different, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. You know, I thought, as I was listening to that, I still had that experience. This would describe that, God, only conditioning turns abundance into torture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have that same experience of obsessive thinking about something that really interests me. And I'm not always aware that it's a takeover.
Right.
Because I can get caught in the planning and the thinking are enjoyable in themselves, you know? But what I miss in that often is, but that's not what I'm doing now. what I want to be doing now.
Yeah, it is kind of enjoyable, but it's leading to something that won't be. But it's hard to catch on to that.
Yeah, and two other things just came when we were talking about the flexibility. This morning was reading about this great image where this guy was saying there's a particular kind of spider. Says it never builds its web between two solid objects. Because if it does, when the wind blows, it'll blow the web away. So it always builds its web like between two, it's like pieces of grass or twigs, so that when they bend with the wind, it bends with the wind.
Wow,
and after the wind passes, it can return to its form.
That's amazing.
Really nice. But what I was actually looking at, and it feels related somewhere, was this morning I was looking at how conditioning always plants its feet on either side of how one might proceed. So it's, you know, it's sort of this all or nothing thing that conditioning does. And I've seen that for a long time, you know, that conditioning always is going to this extreme or this extreme.
Right.
And talking about locked in positions.
Mm-hmm. That's and kind of a basic structure.
Basic structure. Mm-hmm. And what it leaves out, of course, is the middle. But what I was just getting this morning, I mean, I that formulation has been there for a long time, but what I was getting this morning was how big the middle is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I, thinking through conditioning, about conditioning, I was seeing it as three places. There's left, right, and middle. And they're all sort of equally locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And what somehow just broke through this morning was the huge, huge territory between left and right.
Right.
You know, just that there's just endless possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole terrain. It's not just another place to be.
The whole terrain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I think probably for a lot of people, you know, even that each part is equal is an improvement. I think over, you know, well, I can speak for myself, you know, before practice,
yeah, oh yeah.
Before, it's just there are
that there was a third place.
There is no third place at all. And then it starts to... But it's almost like, what I'm getting from what you're saying, I think you might have kind of implied this, is it's not even so much that space is getting bigger, it's just like there's a whole different place to be in where it's not a dualistic world, it's just a spacious one place.
Yeah, and it's, I think I was seeing what conditioning does in those places still through the eyes of conditioning, through the possibilities presented within conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow this morning there was just this sense of, oh my God, the middle way is like everything.
Everything.
And actually it even could include the extremes if that's appropriate.
Right.
But
it includes them as possibilities.
Yes.
Rather than like an either or.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that just that, I don't know, I just had this glimpse of how infinite that all that possibility is. And it's like, you know, it's like the spider riding the wind. Who knows, you know, where you might end up. And anything, just anything is possible.
And that's a big part of it, isn't it? Because it involves a letting go of the kind of the perceiver in order to be in that space.
Yeah.
Because the perceiver, you know, is there's me and these two sides. And then you bring in what we were talking about a minute ago, and in the background where we can't see to self-hate, kind of orchestrating and managing things so it'll end up with something to feel bad about.
Right.
But you take away this, you know, the perceiver, and then that structure is not, there's no way for it to hang together anymore, and there's just spaciousness.
Yeah, as you were saying that, it's this and this and me, I was thinking in a triangle, it's the most locked in, the most locked in structure.
Like a stool or something.
Yeah, it's the most locked in structure, the most rigid structure there is. So if it's me seeing this, it's still a rigid structure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Thank you.
Let's see, Jim.
It's very inspiring. It's helping me see that there are two places currently, at least two, where I'm being kind of scammed. very busy doing some project that I really love, doing work that I've done before and really enjoy. And the two things, I'm just going to reveal those because that's what I do. one is that I'm told that if that there is an upper limit to my capacity to do this job, that if I were any less capable, any less talented or intelligent, somebody else would have been given this job, one degree less, that I am working at maximum capacity.
I see.
What I create, I guess, is the only way to say that. It's just the very best that I can do, and it's...
You're just barely scraping by.
So that's one thing that I have, and it's just been revealed to me that I've been believing.
And so what would you say is true about that?
Believing that makes it so.
Mm-hmm. It makes it seem so.
Yeah, it makes it really seem so.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not so? Mm-hmm. What if I put a little sign up on my computer saying, what if it's not so?
And what if it's defining what's happening, kind of the way you're talking about a while ago, it's kind of turning it into its opposite? So what if it's just defining what's happening in a way that suits it? For example, I could project onto, I mean, I have no idea, but the experience I'm projecting that you're talking about, a fullness that is like a full engagement that would be, instead of being like if you're at your maximum capacity,
just
according
to open-ended.
Exactly. Yeah, you're fully there. You're fully engaged instead of you're fully tapped,
yeah.
If you know what
yeah.
I mean.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. I am aware there are times of full engagement, and there are stretches of full tap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Depending on your relationship with that story.
Yeah.
And
then the other thing is, this is such a setup. I have to be a little self-indulgent to, as far as eating goes. If I get hungry, my ability to do the work is just shot. And it's surprising how hungry I get. And so the setup is, I've actually gained a couple pounds. And for the health of this body, I don't need to do that. And when the work is done, the self-hate, I can see it now. It is lurking.
So it's planting
into it. Yeah. Beat you up for having done it.
Yeah, boy, that's the classic, isn't it? Yeah. So would you say? I mean, does it seem like a true statement to you that you need to have food in order to be able to be productive?
Yes, not as much as it says I need to have.
Right, and probably not the way. Probably not the way it says you need to, also.
Yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because it's using something that's there. It's using the need you have. It's sort of thematic, it seems like, with what we've talked about so far. If it was using something that was not at all there, then in some ways that would be easier. You could just say no, but you got to eat, you know, and you know that, you know, it helps with your energy level, you really focus or whatever in order to have the you know, nutrition that you need to. But it's able to take that and take it out of a place of center with it into something it can manage with the ultimate payoff, sounds like a beating afterwards.
Yeah, and the thing, yeah. If I weren't doing this work, I wouldn't be nearly as hungry as often.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really makes sense in terms of Felicia's campaign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's. Would you agree that it's trying to take something away from you that is really for you? Like, you know, you're talking about, you know, you really enjoy this work.
Yeah.
It sounds like you love it. You're really engaged with it. And so, you know, if it can get you believing in a self-hate story, it's completely taking that away.
Yeah.
And you're just, what you're seeing is one of the mechanisms that it uses to do that. There you go. Yeah, and this is a great recording. Listening.
Whose hunger is this?
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like that because with the first thing you mentioned too, because it turns the whole thing into a practice experiment. Mm-hmm. So you've got the work that you love and the work that you're doing, And overlaid on top of that is your practice. And just like with everything else, you're using this to see how you cause yourself to suffer or how you're caused to suffer, and so you can wake up in suffering. That takes all, to me, that takes some of the pressure off of it, because it's not about getting this right, or, you know, like with the food thing, you know, getting that right or any of that. This is as much a practice for you as anything else. And with that, there needs to be no standards, no shoulds, no expectations. This really is just a practice, and we're waking up to what's there. And sometimes that looks pretty great. Sometimes it looks kind of rough, but that's all part of the practice. Chris.
Did some process mapping yesterday, and because we spent the morning doing it and the afternoon, the map went in a way that I hadn't foreseen, and ended up with a pretty nifty awareness, which was what we started with. What I started with was the doing how, what I call it, the next big thing, or how I deal with projects, okay, big and small, like building a deck at home, down to little smaller projects like knife sharpening and stuff like that, just for me. And I saw some neat things as I went along, and I'd do some, and then I'd record, and then I'd come back and do some more. And then at the end of the first section, I saw one awareness, which is that the big projects, like the deck or a fence, they get finished. But all these other smaller ones that are kind of just for me, those either get started and then fade away.
And is it just for me kind of the key?
That's one of the keys. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I saw some really stuff about how that happens, which was cool by itself. But then I went on, so then I have these projects that are unfinished. Because not all the big projects get totally done. Some of them are in progress, but slow progress. And, how does that affect the family? Well, it leads to conflict between my wife and I. It leads to conflict between even the kids and I. And then, and then I follow that out some more, and it's just, and that, actually those, that's probably the, what it turns into is time spent on the computer, and is one thing, and then these unfinished things hanging over being another thing, and those two are probably, those two are the biggest, I would say, stressors that I inflict or I bring to the family unit. And then that was a big wow, and then I started listing all the ways I can apply what I'm learning here to address that at home. But that I was just figuring that, is, you know, process map, how things don't get done. Yeah, great. But then it ended up to, boy, here's what I'm bringing to the table.
Wow.
And it was a lot. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
It was. And had I had not, because conditioning, by the time the afternoon rolled around, the conditioning was, well, I have to do this all afternoon? And, but had I not had all that time, I wouldn't have got that far. Yeah. In fact, I thought I was kind of almost done at the end of the first section. Uh-huh. Kept going. Then, oh wow.
Because then. All the thinking, man.
Yeah. Because, you know, I really want to bring my life into practice after I leave here. And so, and I have this day off in the middle of the week that rotates, where everyone's gone and I'm home alone. Okay. And those have been very unproductive in the past. So they can, some, they fluctuate, but generally fairly unproductive.
And where you're kind of the rubber hits the road in terms of your practice, it sounds like.
Yeah, and here it's been great because, you know, I've discovered that I can actually work 3 hours in a row, love what I'm doing no matter what I'm doing. I don't need to stop and get on the computer for 10 minutes. I can just work and enjoy it and just do what I'm doing. And so my last Sunday and this Sunday, I'm breaking into little, like, 2 hour chunks of stuff, and then doing
things. To practice that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I can take it home, because, of course, conditioning wants me to plan the day out today from 1 o'clock to 10 o'clock all at once.
Yeah.
But instead,
that's not going to work either, right? That's just the other side of the divide.
Yeah, so I break into a couple hours. I put some, here's some things I'm going to attend to during that time, then I'll record about it, and then I'll do the next chunk of time.
Yeah.
I did that last week, and it worked out really nicely.
That's neat. Yeah, really kind of. It's funny with the projects, you're putting on that tool belt, mm-hmm. right? All these different tools that you can use to attempt to work with this condition that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've made a little stickies of all these different things I'm going to being able to bring to the table.
Yeah, and isn't it good that it's something you can practice, something we can practice? So you see how it works, mm-hmm. but that's not the end of it. It's like, okay, you know, kind of like, could look at it in terms of like, what's the change of behavior? Mm-hmm. that would make a difference with all this karma, or you could look at it in terms of, you know, what do I need to practice in order to, not necessarily even to kind of get to a certain place with it, mm-hmm. but to continue to allow life to guide you through this to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you can use those like those times when you get back that you have that space. You know, those are practice times. So they're not.
Yes.
There are also times to work on the projects.
Yes.
But more than that, those are practice times.
Yes, and I'll be thinking of them. I'll instead of my traditional is I make that to-do list. And next to each little thing is a box. And then when I'm done with it, I cross the box off. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm not going to. Even this morning I started and made the box. No boxes. So there will be a list. I mean, there are things at home that are more pressing to get, pay this bill, do all these right. dishes, whatever. Sort of a hierarchy of things that can be attended to. And, boy, I totally lost what I was doing. Instead, I'll think of it, okay, this is my working meditation period one, will be from kids are off by 9 to 11, and I'll see how I can do in this and this, this, work on those things, mm-hmm. and I'll be sure and plan in some time to work on one of those smaller things that are just for me.
Right. So the primary focus of your attention is not getting this stuff done. It's just like working meditation.
Yes, it's attending to what I'm doing. In from this place.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I'm done, when the period's over, okay, where are we now? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, here's the next, oh, I got to go do the store, do that, and then come back, okay, and then I got from here to here, what can I do there, mm-hmm. and then work on staying here.
Yeah, it's like you're practicing the life you want to have for yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in really tangible ways, which is kind of the way it has to be. It can't be kind of this amorphous sort of, I'm just going to be a better person. You know, it needs to be, you know, here's how. And it sounds like you really, yesterday especially, but all through your stay, you really saw how you can work with this in a way that can make a difference for you.
Yes, working meditation in particular has been a real eye-opener.
Yeah, taking that home.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hannah.
On letting go of the perceiver and infinite possibility that came up this morning, I had an experience the first night I was here that feels like it was a kind of wordless experiential teaching from life. And it came up again when we were doing the guided imagery yesterday in the retreat around lit upness. And it feels like I've been sort of carrying it with me and I've got to see a lot about it. And it was that I was looking out of the window of the hermitage and I could see a certain, you know, sort of square of sky framed by the window. Mm-hmm. And there was a person there and there was some sort of words of how beautiful, how amazing. And I just moved slightly and all of a sudden, like, could see, like, so much more sky from this angle. It was kind of like, you know, sideways and up rather than out through this framed window. And then there was like a gasp and a wow and a you know, just really kind of like wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw about that yesterday was that conditioning is like that frame, you know, it mm-hmm. kind of draws a line around what we can see, yeah. where we can see it from, and how much we can see.
Yeah. And then it starts to close the curtain.
And then, you know, outside that frame, there was just this sort of limitless
right.
expanse.
And how would you speak about, ask exactly, you said at the beginning there was a person there with thoughts about like how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
And there was also you made a movement that, a physical movement,
yep.
expanded your perspective.
Yep.
How would you talk about that in relationship to you know, to what conditioning is trying to do with that framing?
To keep moving, I guess, like that the fluidity that we were looking at earlier. Keep moving. I don't know.
Let me ask it a different way. Did it feel like? There was still a person there when you had that larger perspective?
No. Mm-hmm. No, there was an experience of sort of not separate from the sky.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the perceiver, in a way, the perceiver is gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's still perception, but it's almost like it's life's perception.
Right.
Projecting, like life perceiving light.
Right.
Instead of somebody looking at the world through a defined
right.
Perspective
right.
that it's not aware of and yes. it's not creating, it's being given to it
yes.
by conditioning. You know, here's look through here, and you'll see, but whatever you see will be interpreted within a certain framework. Instead of there just being an openness of wonder and kind of an openness for life to do with that, whatever life will do with that.
Yes. Yes, so instead of a perceiver, there was perceiving.
There was perceiving.
And I've been looking at that a little bit around receiver and receiving. So the first full day of the schedule with working meditation, at some point in the afternoon, some conversation started to come in about, are we taking all of this in? Are we really receiving what's being offered?
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw about the morning is that there hadn't been a receiver there, but there had been receiving.
Right.
So I couldn't go back and sort of like pick a stopping point along the way during the day and say, was I receiving that?
Because there's nobody to record it.
Right. Uh-huh. And I just caught that and saw, aha, I see that this is trying to turn receiving into a standard or a doing, and I just went, aha, no.
Yeah, that is so tricky too on the part of conditioning, because of course the receiver is not receiving at all. It's a pseudo-receiver, but we're supposed to believe that. You know, oh, this is really important, I need to consider whether I'm receiving. It's just
oh,
a big block.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how good it is at what it does.
Right? Yeah. 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 Well, really, really grateful to be having these experiences of receiving and perceiving.
Yeah, and seeing that there doesn't have to be somebody here
right.
in relationship to life. As a matter of fact, life is a lot better, a lot bigger, a lot more wonderful
yeah.
without that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alex?
Yeah, I've been looking at someone who is staying put almost. I like the imagery of the web blowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it's amazing how, at least for me, I feel like I get caught in, and it wouldn't be described as getting caught, it'd be, it's this comfort zone that is hard to describe. It's almost like wherever I am, I'm comfortable in it, and I don't want to go on to whatever it is next.
Mm-hmm. People doesn't seem like a trap because it's cushy.
It is cushy. I mean, people will not believe that I could just be like on a plane. I don't care how long the plane ride is. Actually, I don't want it to end. What I keep hearing constantly is I don't want whatever experience that I'm having to end.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been really neat is that it showed up in extreme relief during these big working meditations during, where we have the big work day.
The all day day.
All days, yeah. And I was up on the roof of the meditation hut, and it was occurring to me that I didn't want to leave because it was just so nice up here. And it occurred to me that I had that thought back where I was before. And I didn't leave there either, and I'm having a wonderful experience here.
Even though you left there.
Even though I left there, yeah, clearly, because I'm here. And I was like, wow, that is just so true about everything. I just saw my whole life just flash before me. It was like, and why there's such a karmic habit of having difficulty initiating anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I don't want anything to be different because I like it the way it is.
It's so comfy.
It's so comfy. And I'm like thinking, now this is not possible, because here I am in a situation where it's just like clearly like there's stuff that can be done,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, there's a kind of it's like a comfort, but joy, mm-hmm. fun, you know, that is completely different from that.
Yes.
Like if you kind of step out of that soft, comfy place,
mm-hmm.
and be engaging in a really active way, you know. Of course, there's a way that is really gives to a person too.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult, it sounds like, to get there within your karmic system, because the conditioning is so much trying to lull you into kind of almost like a, would you say, like a lower and lower energy level?
Well, what it feels like is that I'll stick with something even beyond the point where it's no longer working.
I see.
That's the tricky part, is that the comfort is of course a pseudo comfort.
Right.
And it's just a, you know, it can be overlaid with fear of change.
Yeah, it becomes less and less comfortable.
It becomes less and less comfortable, but it's hard to see it until, so usually what it takes is an external to jar me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've just had that experience where you just get this image of someone falling out of a time portal onto the ground, and it's like, whoa, how did I get here? And all of a sudden I'm looking up at where I was, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe I've been, like, carrying around all this. Uh-huh. I had this experience when I moved from where I lived before I came, like, traveled across country to come here. And it was just like, wow, I sure did collect a whole bunch of junk. You know what I mean? It was like, and it was just I had no difficulty getting rid of any of it, too. Mm-hmm. People were looking at me like, oh my God, why are you getting rid of such great stuff? And I'm like, well, I'm not going. I don't need it anymore where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing because I get to turn around and look at what it was there that I'd been doing all along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you see ways that working with that in the sense of kind of help yourself to come up with that initiative?
It's funny because, you know, it's the same response that I just heard, which was to keep moving.
Keep moving.
Something about it has to be conscious. You mm-hmm. know, it can't be something that, because otherwise, you know, this, I mean, I'm just looking at it right now because it seems so fresh, but it's otherwise it just become like a response rather than like, you know, there's not everybody's playing. Do you know what I mean? I know that there's an initiator. There's somebody here who has ideas and knows how to go ahead and do them and follow through and like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the entrepreneur has gone to sleep and, you know, the people who are like very used to being, I don't know, like the parts that fill the bowl, like water or something like mm-hmm. that, are the primary characters.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would guess you're looking for something that's neither one of those, because mm-hmm. the entrepreneur is going to get you in trouble.
Well, the entrepreneur does get, you know, I mean, it's like when that person shows up, there's no follow through. There's just
right.
like, oh, I got this idea, I got that idea, yeah,
it's
everything, and it just throws everything up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clear that just staying here is, you know, it's what I think I heard that started off this conversation. It's like, you know, obsessive, you know, this is the answer. That can't be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, sitting and see what the next thing is.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, as soon as you're saying that is, of course, the trick is to be here,
mm-hmm.
but here moves.
Yes. Right.
So you've got to keep up
with that. It's that gyroscope image that I keep seeing a lot. It's just constantly in motion, but it's here.
It's, know, always,
it's always here.
Here that but it's always in flux.
Right.
It's always moving.
Exactly.
And you have to keep up with that. Because if you end up here, in a place that's fixed, you're no longer here. You
right.
know, it seems like it. You're in conversational conditioning.
Yeah. It's like how I have this constant experience of something here at the monastery changes, and I was like, wow, I never thought that that could be possible. You know, like, you know, we'll build a building someplace, and it's like, wow, I never saw that there, you know, but someone clearly did. Or, you know, I'll walk by the same thing over and over again, and just, like, it never occurs to me, why is that thing there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it's because it's always been there. You know what I mean? It's like, I get to this place where it's just like I could see the merit in things constantly moving.
Mm-hmm. Which they are.
I mean, they are. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. We just can't see that when we're
the part that's stuck is not seeing it because that part is constantly seeing
fixed.
Things. Yes, fixed.
This doesn't move or change at all.
Right.
And so
it doesn't see it. It doesn't have the apparatus to be able to see it. It's
mm-hmm.
constantly in like. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly, so therefore he doesn't see it.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that a big piece of this is keeping your awareness, the awareness that, you know, that comfort place is not really comfort for you.
No.
It's just comfort for it.
Correct.
Yeah. What's comfortable for life is being here in that way that moves and changes and, yes, and is going with the flux, you know, exactly, as life changes.
Yeah. I'm still looking at being in a position where I'm not relying on something external, mm-hmm, to throw me into this bigger perspective. I suspect things are every now and then, you know, but I would like to be open to how to start to practice that.
Yeah, how to live from that place,
yeah,
instead of kind of being pushed into it and then falling
exactly
out.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's as simple as just doing some activity that will shift something around. You know, just okay, it's not the red book, but the blue. You know, put in the blue binder. Or, mm-hmm. You know, just I had someone I lived with for a while who would just, out of the whim, to just redecorate the entire room that she, or house that she lived in. You know, the plant would go here, and the, mm-hmm, and everything, and just
kind of whatever it takes, huh?
Kind of whatever it takes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I just want to play with that at this time, because I've gotten so much from whatever has jolted me out of it so far.
Yeah, it helps you to see it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. At least I get to see it. That's, mm-hmm, that's true.
Which is the thing that has to come first.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Nikki.
I saw, I've seen a number of things in the last couple of days that are really have been touched on this morning. And one of them is about time. And I participated in the last two at-home working meditation. Well, they weren't necessarily working, but met at-home retreats. Mm-hmm. And both of them, we brought a project to them. But the first one was phrase something like something that you've been wanting to do and haven't gotten around to, and the second one was something that lights you up.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that in the first one, so I've been wanting to do this cleaning project forever and avoiding it and not having time, and so that's what I brought. And the way time felt on that day was there's way too little time, you know, I'm not going to get this done. Well, no, of course I wasn't going to get it done. It wasn't the point, and also there, it's not the kind of job that actually ever gets done, for one thing. I mean, it could be an ongoing...
Forever
yeah, thing, you know.
Cleaning is like that. It just...
yeah.
Finish and start back over.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. But so the experience of time was cramped and small.
Very small.
Not enough. And bringing something, a project that lights me up, I brought something that was just literally play. And there was so much time,
mm-hmm,
and the time periods weren't any different,
mm-hmm,
you know. So, you know, there was no one trying to get something done. There was no one, mm-hmm, trying to accomplish anything. There was just someone playing with something, and it was
completely changed your relationship.
Completely changed my relationship with it, mm-hmm, and I realized that the two different projects could have been switched.
I was wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done the first one from, this is just play and I'll do whatever I do with it. Mm-hmm. And I could have done the second one from, oh, I got to get this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was what I brought to it, you
right.
know? And in a way, yesterday being given permission to bring something that was, lights me up, gave me permission to bring that to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always is what we bring to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I have a choice about that. There's that we can choose what we bring to it if we're aware of what the choices are.
That's right. And I watched out looking at what the voices do. So most of that time I was doing that thing in the morning, it was just play. And then I realized that this voice came in and said, well, now if we just do it a couple more times, we'll have it just right. I said, I think it's time to stop now.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
I know who you are.
But I was going to say, this is not in the same spirit. You know, this is in the spirit of let's have something to show for the time we've been playing.
Right. Yeah, now we have a product
right.
instead of just
exactly.
an experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how perfect life is, interestingly enough, at that moment that I saw that and said it's time to stop, when I looked at the clock, it was exactly time I needed to do something in order to get something ready for lunch. So, I mean, it was, you know, it's just wonder how it all works.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's kind of like we become believers in a way. You know, we say all the time stuff like, you know, if we give it over to life, life will take care of it. But we don't live from that place a lot of times.
Yeah.
But just to see that, how much that is so, even down to the, it's almost like, you know, life is following us around and kind of making it all happen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I had a day on Friday where it was just like I knew there was, you know, one thing had to go right into the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and they all had a time, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. this thing starts at this time, and this thing is at this time, and, you know, and I could have, and to some degree I did sort of figure out, well, then that means this, mm-hmm. but mostly it was just, okay, now I'm doing this, and it ended right when I needed to go leave for the next thing, and that left the time to do this mm-hmm. before I needed to be there, and that...
It's one of those, I got to get out of the way, or this
that's
is
right. That's right, and I did get out of the way, and it was perfect. I mean, it just flowed. You couldn't have made it happen, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah, if you had tried, it wouldn't have gone that way at all.
It wouldn't have gone that way at all, no. And another thing, when we were talking about what the voices will be telling us about what we're doing, and I had two experiences, one in sitting yesterday and one in sitting this morning, that really showed the difference between what conditioning is doing and what life is doing. And yesterday, after I'd been playing with my project, and then there was a sitting time, and I'm just sitting there, just paying attention, and all of a sudden I had this great insight into how, in this case it was how these chords work, these music chords, and it was just because I'd been playing with it, and just because I was sitting there, all of a sudden I saw, oh, that's why it's called a, because those notes are, and it was like it brought this big grin to my face in the middle of sitting, and it wasn't anything I was doing, and it wasn't anything conditioning was doing, it was clearly life dropped in this really fun thing.
That's the loving part of learning, learning, isn't
it? Yeah,
that's what's really fun about it.
Right, and to be sitting there being present so that it was able to be seen, you know, and then today as I was sitting, it was the opposite thing, so conditioning was doing a thing very similar to what was talked about before, about, well, this, and then I'll do that, and it has to do around cooking, you know, and it does that often on Sunday morning around, okay, this is what I'll do when I leave mm-hmm. here to cook lunch, and it's so ridiculous because I already know what I'm going to cook, and I already know that when I get there, I will know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it sits there saying, well, first I'll do that, you know?
I go, we already know that.
Excuse me. This is really way unnecessary, you know? And it's simply to get me to not just sit here and be here. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, well, let's see, what can we pull up from the repertoire that she might believe that she needs to actually know this in advance? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, those two experiences next to each other on 2 days really, really starkly showed to me the difference in what goes on and where it comes from.
It's remarkable. It's amazing that it, I mean, it really is working every single moment to distract us.
Yeah.
You know, it never is not doing that.
No, it's never not doing that. And it did it yesterday, it tried to do it yesterday with food, as someone talked about before. So I was in this place where there was all this energy and I was getting ready to do my thing, and I had said, well, maybe first I'll have a little snack. I thought, I'm not hungry. I don't really want a little snack. And I thought, wow, I'll bet that was totally to drain off some of this energy that I have right now.
Yeah. You know? It really shows the stakes for it.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be doing that every single moment.
Yeah.
Or else we'll escape from it.
Right.
But just one thing after another, all day long.
All day long. Yeah, and it's just such a joy when that's not the experience I'm having.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going with the flow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cameron.
I've had a kind of a big insight or a big experience of the, what we've been talking about, kind of the perception from which things are looked, mm-hmm. you know, like the square earlier.
The window. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the different things we've been talking about, where we're looking from, determines what we're able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had for several years this kind of a challenge. It's kind of like on the needs hierarchy, really down at the base level, something really important, a challenge that has needed to be addressed and a solution found. And I just kept, you know, kind of coming up against, explore, and just kept coming up against a dead end, you know. And in the meanwhile, you know, things were sort of deteriorating more and more. And but I was looking in this one particular place mm-hmm. for the solution. You know, it's like the resolution to a problem can't come from the same mind that has the problem.
Yeah, kind of looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes. Yes, I was looking for a solution where there wasn't one. Mm-hmm. And then something happened, something, energy came in that changed what seemed to be available. And I just looked in an entirely different place and came up with an entirely different solution. And it was just like, wow. I mean, after I saw it, it was just so obvious.
Yeah, it was there the whole time, wasn't it?
It was always there. And mm-hmm. and I'm actually seeing that had I thought of it earlier, you know, it mm-hmm. could have changed so much of the limitations in other areas of my life, yeah. you know.
But of course, you can't.
It was absolutely unavailable.
Yeah, well,
that's what I could see. It wasn't there.
Well, I would project that you needed to be the person who you were when that opening happened.
Yes.
And before that opening could happen.
Absolutely.
And not a separate person, but just like we might say, like in touch with your authenticity.
Yeah, a shift had happened in this being
mm-hmm.
that allowed that opening to be there.
That's
for that
exactly
new
it.
Perspective. I mean, it was actually kind of a physical something coming into my life, but even such, it wouldn't have opened so many avenues had I been the person that I was when I wasn't able to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's this, I mean, this makes no logical sense, but there's this kind of way in which, for me, with stuff like that, I even had to start questioning about like a physical thing coming into my life. Would that have come?
Yeah.
Without this shift that has happened?
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Yeah.
It's just, and who knows? I mean, it's just making meaning out of stuff, but it always seems like it just lines up so perfectly. It almost has to be like that.
It always does. You know, when the breakthrough comes, it's like the whole, everything lines up. It's like mm-hmm. snapped a grid. There's something they call that in architecture or something where snap to grid and everything falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that happens, you know, everything's all a mess and then you get centered and everything, all yeah. the pieces fall in and everything is perfect and it always has been and just didn't see it.
Yeah, and don't you think all of that, you know, the looking you were doing, it actually got you there.
Yes.
Even though, you could look at that and say, well, that was not helpful because it was looking in the wrong direction. But it was helpful because that looking is what got you to the place where you could then turn and look in another
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it's like knowing all the thousand ways it doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, you have to stop looking where it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. But,
and then it was, yeah, and it was just like, whoa, you know, and then it was like, okay, this isn't a problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah. And of course, the next piece of that is we have to look to see how conditioning attempts to
oh,
bring
yes.
that in.
Oh, yes, it will right away.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the box is a little bigger, but it's still a box.
Still a nice box.
Yeah.
We still continue.
Yeah, so I think that's why it's so magnificent that we focus on process, because the content is the box, and the new process led to a new place, and then conditioning makes the box. But
mm-hmm.
if we keep remembering the process was, you know, just keep being open and just keep, you know,
uh-huh.
exploring and being open, and then finally
it lines up.
Lines up.
Right. And it's so much fun.
It is so much fun.
It's all a part of it, isn't it?
It is.
Not just the having a big breakthrough and seeing things in a new way. I mean, that's the super fun part, of course. But it's all part of it. You know, getting identified, getting into that little box, working with that, then moving it, then having it move. It's all a part of being human and doing practice of being alive.
Right. We can only be who we are when we are, and then things shift, and then we're different, and then new possibilities are there, and then we work with those, and then, yeah.
And we just have to trust that, you know, whatever this thing is that we call life is orchestrating all this, knowing what it's doing.
Boy, it's getting more and more clear that it sure does. It's, and all I can do basically is kind of get in the way and try to get myself out of the way so it can do its magic.
Yeah, it's so loving.
It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And generous.
And generous. Yeah, loving and generous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's our time. Thank you.